trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Would you agree with that statement?
Amen.
Amen. Trust and obey. Our Lord Jesus gives us many powerful, encouraging, and challenging teachings in the New Testament, giving us an opportunity to trust and obey. I have selected one of his teachings this morning that is very powerful, it is very important, it is very challenging. And we believe that if we obey this teaching, if we listen to this teaching, if we trust and obey, it is best. Amen? This is a very, very important teaching. To ignore this teaching, Jesus says, is to be a fool. To ignore this teaching is to be a fool. This is a very important teaching for your life. It's very challenging for your life, and it's very challenging for mine. The sermon is called Don't Be a Fool. Would you please open to Luke chapter 12, verse 13, and stand with me as we read the teaching of Jesus together. Luke 12:13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you?" Then Jesus said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Will you pray with me, please? Will you take this few moments to present a humble heart before the Lord? You've come into this room. I don't know what mood you're in. I don't know what situation you're in. I don't know what troubles you've faced in life. I don't know where you are with the Lord this morning. But would you take a few moments right now and say, "God, I need you. I need every word of Jesus in my life, and I need the strength to understand it and obey it. Help me." Humble yourself before the Lord right now. Please pray for the other people in this room, perhaps those to your left, right, in front of you, or behind you. Help them to understand what Jesus is saying and to completely trust and obey. Please take a few minutes to pray for me. What you need this morning is less Dave and more Jesus. So please pray for that exact thing. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, the Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible, the Spirit of Christ that spoke these words. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may accurately get the intended meaning of what Jesus is trying to say to his followers. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Isn't that interesting? Jesus is teaching in the crowd, and he's teaching, and someone in the crowd says, "Rabbi, teacher, my brother, tell him to share." Can you imagine that? That's what is happening here. This man is selfish. This man is self-centered. There is a terrible thing that happens in our society when someone dies. If someone dies and leaves behind a significant amount of money, it is very common for the children to fight over the inheritance. Perhaps you have seen that. Perhaps you've experienced it. Perhaps you've lived it out. It's a terrible thing that happens when someone dies. And Jesus does not give us the details, or Luke does not give us the details. He doesn't tell us exactly what's happening, so any specifics are guesswork. All we know is that a man in the crowd appeals to Jesus, "Tell my brother to share. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." In the Bible, the oldest gets a double portion. The rest get a regular portion. Maybe that's what's happening. The text doesn't tell us, so we can only guess. All we know is a man is selfish. And with a selfish heart, and with selfish motives, he appeals to Jesus and says, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Have you ever felt like you were treated unfairly in a certain situation? Have you ever felt robbed? Have you ever felt cheated? Have you ever felt jealous? Have you ever been in a situation where you think that person is getting a better deal than you and you want it to be fair? This man is thinking the same thing. Jesus sees through his heart, and he says this in verse 14. But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you?" Then he said to him, "Beware." He said to them. He said to them. He's talking to the crowd now. "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Jesus says, and this is what I want you to see, this is so very important, Jesus says, watch out for this. Beware of this. Danger alert. Our Lord is warning us of danger. In this world, a lot of people are scared about viruses and getting sick. And if you watch the news, there's various viruses. Every once in a while, there'll be a scare about a specific virus. And you see people taking measures protecting themselves from viruses. I have visited people in the hospital hundreds and hundreds of times. And sometimes if a person is very contagious, I have to put on a mask and put on a gown and gloves before I go in, because everyone is scared that I will get the virus and I will pass the virus. Sometimes people are in isolation. We're scared of getting the virus. Jesus says, watch out for every kind of greed. Jesus says there's a virus of the heart, and it's called greed. And Jesus says, watch out for greed. Why is Jesus so concerned about greed? In your notes, number one, greed is sin. Greed is sin. Look at Romans 1:28 behind me on the screen. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, same Greek word, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips. Number two in your notes. This is very important. Greed is idolatry. Greed is idolatry. You are worshiping something other than God. Colossians 3:5 tells us that, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, same Greek word, which amounts to idolatry. Number three in your notes, greed is a heart problem. Greed is a heart problem. You all know that sin has damaged our hearts. We are created in the image of God, amen? We are created in the image of God, but sin has contaminated that image. We were created to bear God's image. But sin has damaged that image, and greed is a part of that damage. Jesus says this in Mark chapter 7. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting. Same Greek word as our text this morning, Luke 12. And wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. If you have a problem with greed, if I have a problem with greed, is because there is sin in my heart. Number four, in your notes, Jesus warns us to watch out and beware of greed. Trinity Baptist Church, I warn you as I warn myself, if there is greed in your heart, Jesus says, danger. Danger. You cannot allow greed to stay in your heart. You must surrender it to the Lord and say, I confess it. It is evil. Please help me take it away. Please clean it out. You can't let it stay in your heart. It is very, very dangerous. Is there greed in your heart? Your first response might be one of defensiveness or self-righteousness. Please don't go there. Is there greed in your heart? Today can be a wonderful day for you as you surrender it to the Lord and put your life on a better course. Jesus saw that this man had greed in his heart. And he turns to the crowd and he says this powerful teaching in verse 15. Please look at it again. Then Jesus said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. Why? This is why Jesus says, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Trinity Baptist Church, money and possessions do not give you life. Life does not come from having money. Life does not come from having possessions. Number 5 in your notes. Life does not come from money or possessions. Life comes from God. Life comes from God. 1 John 1, 1 and 2. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we've looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which is from the Father and was manifested to us. God is the giver and source of life. God is the giver and source of life. Verse 16 in the passage today. Jesus tells a very powerful story to illustrate his point. 16. He told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. Now remember that in the Bible, this is an agricultural society. What Jesus is saying is a man succeeded in business. A man succeeded in business. The land of a rich man was very productive. Before we go on with the parable, Trinity Baptist Church, beware of success. Beware of success. If you or I succeed financially, be careful, because financial success will take your eyes off the Lord. It is dangerous. It is not sin, but it is dangerous. When you succeed financially, you will take your eyes, you have a tendency rather, to take your eyes off the Lord and onto your business, onto your financial success. And the more you succeed financially, the more your life is focused on succeeding. Did you hear that? The more you succeed financially, the more your life will be focused on succeeding financially. And you will become, you have a tendency, not necessarily, you have a tendency to become enslaved in your success. And that's what happened to this guy. Take a look. Verse 16. He told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. He's become a slave to it. His life is consumed with that. He's succeeding, and he has a problem. He can't store his crops, so his life is now focused on what to do with his business. He is a slave. 18. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. Now he has a solution. Everything will be okay in my life if I can solve this problem and deal with my success. 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Who is he trusting in? He is now trusting in his riches. His faith is in his riches. I have succeeded financially. I have figured out a way to administrate that. I'm okay. He is trusting in his money. What does God have to say to him? Look at verse 20. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Couple of quick lessons. Number 6 in your notes. I think it's number 6. Life is short and often ends early and abruptly. Life is short and often ends early and abruptly. This is why it is extremely important that you are ready to meet the Lord. Extremely important that you are ready to meet the Lord. I'm 47 years old. My mother will turn 90 in August. If the Lord gives me a long life, I've got 40 more years at least. Could also die next week. It happens all the time. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you have known someone who died suddenly and unexpectedly and tragically. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because every one of you would. All of us know someone who died unexpectedly and tragically. Life ends abruptly all the time. It is why it is so utterly important that you are ready to meet the Lord. So I want to stop right here and say, if you are here this morning and you are not born again, you are not ready to meet the Lord, please do not think that your financial success or your beautiful family or anything you are trusting in will be enough to prepare you for the day of judgment. It will not. You must be born again. The reason I selected this passage, and I hope that you see this, is because according to this passage, most of the people in the world are fools. Most of the people in our society are living for money and are not rich toward God. This passage applies to the vast majority of human beings on this earth today. And tragically, this passage applies to a lot of church people. A lot of church people will come to church every Sunday, but when it comes right down to it, they're living for possessions and not for Jesus. Which one describes you? Which one are you? Would you please keep your finger in Luke 12 and turn to Matthew chapter 6? It will not be behind me on the screen. So if you'd like to follow along, please turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6:19, Jesus says this. It's very important that we see this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but instead do this. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Brothers and sisters, where is your heart this morning? Where is your heart? The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. That's number 7 in your notes. It's very important. I'm sorry, 7 is this. The person who lives for this world and not for eternity is a fool. The person who lives for this world and not for eternity is a fool. 8 in your notes is this. You cannot serve God and money. You must choose. You must choose. Everyone has a master. Amen? Everyone has a master. And in Jesus' example, he was talking about two people. There are people who are serving God, and there are people who are serving money. And the question I'm asking you today is, which one are you? Which one are you? Jesus met a rich man in the Gospel of Mark, and I want you to see what he had to say to him. It's very important. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Keep your finger in Luke 12 or bookmark. Talks to a rich man. Verse 17, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and said, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And the rich man said to Jesus, "Teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth." Verse 21, looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. Jesus felt a love for him. Trinity Baptist, why did Jesus say these words to the man which are so hard? Love. Jesus felt a love for him and said, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and what will happen? You will have treasure in heaven." You will have treasure in heaven. One thing that should drive your financial decisions, Trinity Baptist Church, is faith. When I sacrifice riches down here to give to the poor, to give Bibles, to give to the gospel, it's because I believe in eternity. It's a decision of faith. It's a decision of faith. We can have good things down here, but we want something better. Amen? One thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But at these words, the rich man was saddened. He went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Do you see it? You can't do both. He was faced with a decision. Will I serve God or will I serve money? And he chose money. So my question for you is this. Which one are you? What is your life all about? Where is your heart brothers and sisters, because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your heart? The fact of the matter is, this passage is so powerful because most of the people in the world are getting it wrong. Most people in the world live for money. Most people in the world live for possessions, and many people in churches all around the country do the same. And the question is, why? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? In your notes it says, number 9. Why do I live for money? Because I want joy. I want joy. I believe money and possessions will bring me joy. And that's why I do it. And that's why anyone does it. It's a self-serving decision. The problem is, we are looking for joy in the wrong place and at the wrong time. We are looking for joy in the wrong place and at the wrong time. So you want joy, and I want joy. How do we get it? Let's look to the scriptures. Number 10, joy comes from God. Joy comes from God. Romans 15:13, behind me on the screen. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Next one, joy comes from finding Christ. Joy comes from finding Christ. In the parable, Matthew 13:44, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all he has to buy that field. Being born again means God has helped you to see what true treasure really is, and true treasure is Christ. Next one, joy comes from following Christ. Joy comes from following Christ. John 15:11 says this. 9-11, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, Jesus says, you will abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commands and abide in His love, these things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy will be made full. Trinity Baptist Church, do you want joy? Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Do not live for money. Do not live for possessions. Both are broken cisterns that hold no water. Next one. Joy comes from surrendering to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see that. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit means results. The results of the Holy Spirit having control of your life. What is the result of the Holy Spirit being in control of your life? It is joy. Because the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, behind me on the screen, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Here's an interesting one. This is the next one in your notes. Joy often comes in the midst of poverty and trials. Joy often comes in the midst of poverty and trials. The world thinks. The world teaches that joy comes from money and possessions. And it is not true. Please don't buy that lie. Joy comes in the midst of poverty and trials. I've given you a bunch of scriptures there that I hope you'll look up on your own. But take a look at Hebrews 10:34 behind me on the screen. For you, that's the faithful Christians, you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. We serve the persecuted church here at Trinity Baptist Church. We serve them every year with the One Hope Project. And you and I know that on the other side of the world, our brothers and sisters are losing their homes, losing their jobs, losing their families, losing their lives. Why? Because Jesus is better. And the Holy Spirit has helped them see that. So that's where you find joy. Let's look at when, very quickly. When do you find joy? The next one in your notes, joy comes when Christ returns. Joy comes when Christ returns. John 16:20 behind me on the screen. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that the child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too will grieve now, but I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. Next one in your notes, joy comes in eternity. Joy comes in eternity. Jesus taught about this in Matthew 25, just one verse, 21. Take a look at it behind me on the screen. Don't take a look at it behind me on the screen. Listen to it as I read it from the pulpit. Or you can turn there if you'd like. Matthew 25:21 simply says this. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Let's look at the passage one more time. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you?" Then he said, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." He told them a parable saying the land of a rich man was very productive. He began reasoning to himself saying, "What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?" He said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" So my question to you this morning, and my question to myself, which one am I? What is the direction of my life? May the Lord lead us to be rich toward Him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be rich in our relationship with you, rich in our love for you, rich in our service of you. Help us to resist the world's ways and follow your path. In Jesus' name, amen.